Before we, just as we bow our heads, I just want to say with my head bowed that wherever you are as the new year begins, please know, please trust that there is not a need in your life for which Jesus is not only sufficient, but more than you need. That his presence is real, whether you can sense it or not in the moment, because we are flawed and sometimes we don't. That the love of the Father, Abba, Father, for you is deeper than you know, right where you are. And that his Spirit longs to draw you closer, to draw us all closer to him. So Lord, thank you that as we stand at the threshold of a new year, that we can take your hand and walk through it into better things. In Jesus' name, bless us, Lord, as we look into your word. Amen. So let's start with an unsettling question. What have you got to heaven into the kingdom of God? You know, you had your invitation to the banquet and everything, and then found out that you didn't belong there. Uh-oh, right? That couldn't happen? We may think. Well, we might want to run that thought by Jesus first. We're back on our regular reading schedule again, so here we go. And this is interesting. Matthew chapter 22, verses 1 through 14. Matthew 22, 1 through 14. Please follow along in your Bibles if you have them in front of you. Jesus spoke to them again in parables, saying, "The kingdom of heaven is like a king who prepared a wedding banquet for his son. He sent his servants to those who had been invited to the banquet to tell them to come, but they refused to come. Then he sent some more servants and said, 'Tell those who have been invited that I prepared my dinner. My oxen and fattened cattle have been butchered and everything is ready. Come to the wedding banquet.' But they paid no attention and went off, one to his field, another to his business. The rest seized his servants, mistreated them, and killed them. The king was enraged. He sent his army and destroyed those murderers and burned their city. Then he said to his servants, 'The wedding banquet is ready, but those I invited did not deserve to come. So go to the street corners and invite to the banquet anyone you find.' So the servants went out into the streets and gathered all the people they could find, the bad as well as the good, and the wedding hall was filled with guests. But when the king came in to see the guests, he noticed a man there who was not wearing wedding clothes. He asked, 'How did you get in here without wedding clothes, friend?' The man was speechless. Then the king told the attendants, 'Tie him hand and foot and throw him outside into the darkness where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth, for many are invited, but few are chosen.'" Ouch. Maybe. Strong words. Definitely. May we pray. Lord Jesus, this is hard to understand. Help us to understand it. And not just to understand it, but to heed your teaching. Thank you that your truth is truth. That you are the way, the truth, and the life.
Bless us, Holy Spirit, help us as we come to your word. In Jesus' name, amen. So there's another version of this parable in Luke, and when he tells it, everyone has a reason for not being able to accept the invitation. That's the one that many of us are familiar with, and they're public excuses. And actually, if you look at them in the context of the Middle Eastern culture, at least one of them is very insulting. But here, they just refuse to come. And, you know, basically all of that situation is dealt with pretty quickly. You know, they murder the king's servants. The king then responds. And then the whole meaning of the parable changes the way Matthew tells it. So Jesus clearly told this more than once, and he built on it. And this time, a man shows up at the table. He's not dressed for the banquet. He gets thrown out, and you have to wonder, what is Jesus' point with that? I'm excited to dig into this because I have never preached on this passage before, and it's not one that you hear preached on frequently. It's fascinating, I think. So what's going on? There are at least two points, I believe. And the first is this: our invitation to God's kingdom is entirely because of who God is. It is entirely because of God's kindness. It is an invitation. We can't miss that. This is what we just celebrated at Christmas. God comes to us as a friend and invites us home to him. That's the meaning of the king who's having a wedding banquet for his son. This is end times stuff he's talking about. Do you see how Jesus says, go to the street corners and invite anyone that you can find? Oh, good and bad, he says, right? That means it does not matter where you have been. It does not matter what you have done. Oh, the king wants you near him. God loves you, and his love is good, and what he offers you and me is entirely generous. And you don't have to think that there is some fault in yourself that God alone knows about and that he really doesn't love you and he really doesn't want you to come near. His word makes clear it is an invitation from the king. And the good and the bad, no matter where you've been, again, we can come to him just as we are without fear of rejection. The one who has all the goods on us, every aspect of it, still says, oh, I love you and I want you near me. And that, that is the most beautiful truth of all. And I hope you know that. I hope that you've taken that to heart and that you keep taking that to heart, because it is the single most important truth of human existence. We have a creator and he is good and he wants us to know him. He longs for us to love him and to love him back, to know his love. So let's get to the second point. And that is what to wear. You ever wonder what to wear to a wedding? I mean, for guys, it's usually pretty easy, right? The suit, of course. It's far more simple for us because we are, right? But for many women, it's an art form. And of course, God saved the best for last when he made you. But here, think about it. This is the guy who shows up in his pajamas. You know the guy, you see him at Costco sometimes or wherever else, I guess. And the truth is, things don't end well for him. The whole parable changes on this point. And it changes when the king walks in. How did you get in here without wedding clothes? And the man has no answer. And he's tossed out. But what does that mean? What is Jesus getting at? I as this parable begins, you can see that Jesus is speaking with those who have rejected his mission. You know, clearly the prophets that have been rejected and persecuted through time, he's addressing that. But here, I really believe Jesus is reaching through the centuries to give a message that is so applicable to us. And we need to think carefully here because there is so much at stake. First, do not forget, this starts with the generous invitation, the magnanimous invitation by the king. And the man accepts the invitation, but he does not change. He does not change. And that's the second point. To go to the wedding, we have to change. We need to change. The invitation of the king has to mean something to us. Grace has to go deep. I like what the German theologian Helmut Thielicke wrote about this. And Helmut Thielicke, I quote him often because I love the guy. And I used to live near where he taught up in Hamburg in Germany. And here was a man who stood up to the Nazis and suffered for it and saw a lot of people who were compromising with them. And he writes this: "We see ourselves at the banquet table without a wedding garment when we allow our sins to be forgiven, but we still want to hang on to them." We do this, in other words, when we say to ourselves, consciously or unconsciously, "This is great stuff. A man can remain in his sins without worrying, since this God of love can never be really angry. He shuts both eyes and lets it pass." Thus, in all artful innocence, I could ask for forgiveness every day without having to abstain from a single dubious thing to which my heart clings. And that's the real question, isn't it? Where do our hearts cling? Do they cling to Christ and who he is and what he has done for us and knowing him more? Or do they cling to lesser things? And in those lesser things, what we find they're really clinging to is self. I want it my way or not at all. I knew a lady who refused to speak to her mother for the longest time. Longest time. And there were others that she was also vocal about not liking, and she refused to forgive them. And she told her mother once, every night I'll just ask God to forgive me. And I'll be fine. No. You won't. No, you won't. Not if you take this parable seriously. Not if you have to change for the wedding. She didn't know what to wear. clearly the banquet that Jesus is talking about is God's banquet, God's grace offered to you and me at an incredible expense, deeper than the foundation of the world, broader, better. Are we willing to change because of that grace? Are we willing to talk to Jesus about the difficult places? Because Jesus says, if you will love me, you'll obey me, right? Whoever loves me will obey my commands, is the direct quote out of John. We can't simply stay in the same sins and expect God to forgive us while we keep on doing them and going our own way. We can't just keep on saying, oh, I'm just a sinner saved by grace. Yes, we are, but what does that grace mean to us in those places? And do we not get tired of those sins? Do we not in our own souls know the burden of them and want to be free? We are, with God's help, to take off our old garments and our old ways and put on new ones. That's why Scripture in Galatians and in Romans speaks of being clothed with Christ. The quote out of Romans 13:14, clothe yourselves with the Lord Jesus Christ and do not think about how to gratify the desires of your old sinful nature. In other words, again, to make it all about us. And that's a struggle. But this means, with Jesus' help, we are to resist temptation. We are to keep working in those areas where maybe we have a besetting sin and we know it. And with his help, we're going to keep on going. We're going to keep on fighting it. And maybe there are those places in our hearts and lives where we just, oh, man, we know that we're not walking with God. We need more of Jesus. Because the Holy Spirit won't let up with us on that. But that's a good thing. That's who he is and what he does. Because he's making us anew in his image. And we can grow in this. And yeah, sometimes that growth may be glacial. But sometimes it just even starts by wanting it. That's the work of his Spirit within. And if we don't take this seriously, we're not really taking the invitation to come to him and find rest seriously. One more point just to close. It helps when we remember that what this is really all about is celebration. Again, this is about an invitation to the banquet, and it's not just a banquet then. Think of the worth of knowing Jesus and the beauty of his presence and his Spirit in your life. Think of the light that he has given you in dark places. This is the best gift we could ever receive then and now. And we leave old ways behind because we've got something better. And it's not from us. We can't take credit. It's entirely because of him. But it's worth it because, again, he is worth it. No matter where we struggle, this is about being set free. This is about coming into new places of grace. discovering good things God has in store for you while you yet live on this earth. Having your record swiped clean and starting fresh. I mean, it doesn't mean anything unless we're starting fresh, right? Maybe you've done something in your past that you can't forgive yourself for, and you don't think God will forgive you either. Oh, but He will. He will. That's what Jesus is about. That's why Scripture reminds us, for freedom, He has set us free. That's why Jesus said, if the Son shall set you free, you shall be free indeed. You don't have to carry that weight. He would love to take it off of you. And you will be forgiven. Remember, the King is your friend. And He invites you, and He will help you, and He does, again, want you near. And you can talk to Jesus about any area where you will struggle, and He will meet you. And He will help you walk in new freedom with you, with Him. You know, if this parable makes you a little uncomfortable, good. Because my job is to afflict the comfortable and comfort the afflicted. But it should make us uncomfortable right before it sets us free. And it should do that too. Because again, it is a banquet and you get to go in. So why stay dressed in the same old stuff? Right? I love the way Jesus adds the good and the bad. He meets us right there. And as He sets us free, you and I are becoming more and more the creation He intends us to be. We are becoming more and more ourselves as we put on Christ, because we are becoming closer and closer to our Creator in whose image we are made. And that is such a freeing thing. That is life flowing into us, body and soul. That is purpose flowing into our lives as we live now. It's a good thing. So go ahead on this first Sunday of the year. Out with the old, in with the new. It takes time to get ready, right? But it's worth it. I mean, imagine walking into the banquet hall and the King putting both hands on your shoulders, and saying, "Oh, just look at you. Look at you. You took time to get ready for my banquet. Come in. Come on in." I want to be there. Like that. Don't you? May we pray. Father, help us. Help us to see the freedom that you call us to as we follow you, as we walk with you, as we leave old sins and old ways behind and walk into your goodness. Thank you that it really is possible. Not in our own strength, but in yours. So we come to you. We bow before you. And we ask, Lord, yes, make it so. Bless us to be well dressed in you. In Jesus' name.